Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Fraud on the Market Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 23, 2014, the Supreme Court issued its opinion in Halliburton Company v. Erica P. John Fund, Incorporated. This case presented two questions. The first is whether the Supreme Court should overrule or modify its decision in Basic Inc. v. Levinson, to the extent that it recognizes a presumption of class-wide reliance derived from the fraud on the market theory, which posits that a company's material misrepresentation regarding a security traded in the open market that affects the price of security is presumed to have been relied upon by a plaintiff who purchased the security and suffered a loss. The second question is whether, in a case where the plaintiff invokes the presumption of reliance to seek class certification, the defendant may rebut the presumption and prevent class certification by introducing evidence that the alleged misrepresentations did not distort the market price of its stock. In a unanimous opinion delivered by Chief Justice John Roberts, the court noted that under Section 10B of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934 and the SEC's Rule 10B-5, investors can recover damages in a private securities fraud action only if they prove that they relied on the defendant's misrepresentation in deciding to buy or sell a company's stock. In Basic, the court held that investors could satisfy this reliance requirement by invoking a presumption that the price of stock traded in an efficient market reflects all public material information, including material misstatements. Given that Congress can change the law, Halliburton failed to provide the special justification necessary for the court to overrule its prior decision in a statutory case. For the same reason, class action plaintiffs may rely on the basic presumption to avoid having to directly prove in the first instance that the misrepresentation affected the stock price at the class certification stage. But nothing in Basic or in any other Supreme Court decision prevents defendants from defeating this presumption at the class certification stage through evidence that the misrepresentation did not, in fact, affect the stock price, and courts should give them the opportunity to do so. The court vacated and remanded the decision of the Fifth Circuit. To discuss the case, we have Adam Pritchard, who is the Francis and George Skestis Professor of Law at the University of Michigan School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Pritchard.
So we're discussing the Halliburton decision today, and this involves a purported securities fraud class action brought against the Halliburton Company. The plaintiffs are alleging securities fraud based on misrepresentations by the company that it had understated its exposure to asbestos liability and overestimated the benefits of a merger that the company had entered into. And the question for the Supreme Court was, what is required to certify a class action in a case alleging securities fraud under Rule 10b-5 of the Securities Exchange Act? And the framework, the legal framework for this question was established in 1998 by the Supreme Court in a case called Basic Inc. versus Levinson, where the court held that plaintiffs seeking to certify securities fraud class action would not have to show individual reliance, that is, that the plaintiffs had read the misstatement and purchased securities on the basis of that misrepresentation, but rather that the plaintiffs could show that the market relied on the misrepresentation if the plaintiffs could show that the stock of the company traded in an efficient marketplace and the misrepresentation was material and publicly available. So that basic decision in 1998 unleashed a flood of securities class actions. The presumption of reliance established there is the basis for about 80% of securities class actions today. So in 2013, in a case called Amgen, at least four justices, Alito, Scalia, Thomas, and Kennedy, called into question the continuing validity of the fraud on the market presumption established in Basic versus Levinson. So the invitation was taken up by Halliburton, which had previously been to the Supreme Court with this case, and the previous iteration, the Supreme Court had said that the plaintiffs were not required to show loss causation in order to certify a class. On remand to the Fifth Circuit, Halliburton had tried to argue that they should be able to rebut the fraud on the market presumption by showing that the misrepresentations did not have any price impact, and the Fifth Circuit held that Halliburton was not entitled to rebut the presumption. So when the case returned to the Supreme Court, there were two questions before the court. The first was, should it overrule Basic versus Levinson in its entirety and require actual reliance in securities fraud class actions? And the secondary question was, if Basic was not overruled, should the court reform the presumption of reliance established in Basic versus Levinson? And if the court decided that it would reform Basic rather than overrule it, there were two primary options. One would be to require the plaintiffs to prove price impact rather than showing market efficiency. The other alternative to that was allowing the defendants to show that there was no price impact from the misrepresentation. So the choice between these two alternatives is largely based on the burden of proof and the extent of economic evidence that will be presented. If the court adopted the first alternative, it could do away with market efficiency and just focus on price impact. So the Supreme Court decision by Chief Justice Roberts, first off, rejected the arguments from Halliburton and a number of amici that Basic should be overruled as inconsistent with the statute of the Securities Exchange Act and with recent economic evidence. The court's basis for rejecting the arguments that Basic should be overruled were largely based on stare decisis. There was no special justification for overruling the Basic fraud on the market presumption because Congress could fix the problem if it thought that the Basic presumption had created policy implications that were not intended by Congress. And in fact, Congress has entered this area on a couple of occasions since Basic versus Levinson, most conspicuously with the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act in 1995, and has not overturned it. So the second question was whether the Supreme Court should reform the fraud on the market presumption. And once again, the court said there was no special justification for reforming the fraud on the market presumption, but it did decide to allow defendants to show an absence of price impact in order to defeat a plaintiff's showing that it was entitled to the fraud on the market presumption. And the result is justified by the court as being closer to the original intention of Basic versus Levinson. There is some paraphrasing of the original opinion, which makes it look like the price impact rebuttal option that the Supreme Court adopted was consistent with the original decision in Basic versus Levinson. So the question is, what effect will this decision have on practice in securities fraud class actions? So on the bottom line question of will it make it more difficult for plaintiffs to proceed with securities fraud class actions, the answer is probably not to any significant degree. So Justice Ginsburg wrote a very brief concurring opinion signed on to by Justice Breyer and Justice Sotomayor, in which she said, "Court recognizes that it is incumbent upon the defendant to show the absence of price impact. Court's judgment, therefore, should impose no heavy toll on securities fraud plaintiffs with tenable claims." The price impact inquiry is one that involves a good deal of economic evidence that's going to be presented by both sides, putting on experts, and the trial courts are going to have to resolve the disputes between those experts. By placing the burden of proof on defendants, Justice Ginsburg's understanding, and this probably reflects the practical realities of litigation, is that defendants are not going to succeed in rebutting the fraud on the market presumption very often. However, it will be the rare defendant that is not going to attempt to defeat class certification in this way. So one guaranteed result from this decision will be more employment for both lawyers and even more so for economists.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.